Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Just two September dreamers off to see the world. A smile when I recall the bold choices we made. You could have asked me to fly to the moon and back. Again, I'd pack my bags and say when.
What a sweet voice. I'm enamored. I swear to God, I am just like blown. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. This, of course, is The Writer's Block, and this is a very special edition. This is our first show that we've ever had a husband and wife on together. And it's very special because this particular husband and wife are both in the industry. And it's going to be an honor to welcome them in just a moment. But hello, Bobby Jean. I'm looking at my co-host sitting there in her little studio apartment with one bed and a bathroom and a kitchenette in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Jim. You know, tonight is actually the real true sixth anniversary of the show. Our first one was May 21st, 2015, with guest Courtney Joyner. And you can get more on the date than May 20th, 2021.
I love this show. I'm going to die doing this show with a microphone in my cold, dead hand. How's that?
Well, it has been, it's just been wonderful. It's been, yes. I can't believe we've, you know, read that many books and we've been together this long.
I know.
Yeah.
And there are some changes coming up next month, but nothing that's going to really affect anything. You'll still be there with us, and all we're doing is adding Richard back onto the lineup.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be fun. That, I mean, it gives us a whole new dimension and a whole other person to make fun of. So, hey. Oh my God! Today has been like I don't know what I did yesterday to deserve today, but I did something. I have no clue something happened, but I don't know. We have with us tonight I hesitate to even say award-winning because the woman is like, she's like awesome. She's goddess-like. She's internationally acclaimed. She's a multiple award winner. I mean, not just one, but, you know, a couple. 15, award-winning singer-songwriter who tours extensively with her unique brand of Western roots music. She's a native-born Texan. As a young woman ventured off to Utah, why she would do that, I haven't the foggiest idea, but she did, where she now resides in the small town of Escalante, and I have heard that Escalante has a mean population of 143. So, yay, Escalante, you're growing, a 140-year-old ranching community in southern Utah. The authenticity of Mary Kay's music comes from raising cowboys, wranglers, and rodeo sweethearts, caring for livestock, and a life in one of the most remote places in the United States. And I guess that to be absolutely true. Mary Kay combines traditional cowboy songs with fresh contemporary material and award-winning originals. I'm just going to stop there. Please welcome. Oh, well, and you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and introduce him, too. And we have on the other phone, her husband, who is the award-winning host of the weekly show Equestrian Legacy Radio, Mr. Gary Holt. So welcome, please, Mary Kay and Gary Holt to The Writer's Block.
Hey, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Mary Kay, you've raised personally a baseball team.
This is true. Yes, 10 children. It's a big, family.
You know, I have a hard time getting along with like four, and you're at 10. And I suppose now you're going to tell me you like them all, don't you? Aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, I do. There are no favorites. Gary teases me, though, because it depends on the day which one is, you know.
Sure.
There's no favorites, but you know, they rotate in and out of favor.
Bobby, that's the line that all mothers tell you. That's the big line.
Mm-hmm. And novelists too, you know.
I heard the show that you guys did back in June, and we're at the end of the show. You guys announced that you were dating, and
wow,
you were not quite finished with your new album, Frontier, mm-hmm. which I have the entire. Bobby was kind enough to send me the whole album, and I have listened to it extensively this week, and I love the music, and particularly because I am a singer-songwriter myself and have been for years. I love your range. Your range is like awesome. And your guitar work is wonderful, and your arrangements, although they do get a little bit into swing occasionally, which, and so, you know, swing's okay. But I love your voice. God, your voice is like so crystal clear and so beautiful. And so I have to tell you that now I'm done gushing.
Thank you, Jim.
And the last time you were on with us, I was home. I just blown myself up with a bunch of black powder. So,
yes, and we had Mary Kay calling in, and we had Joe Harrington in the studio, and we had, you know, I had challenges with the phones. But that was a really fun show. I listened to that today
I mean, I did listen to it again. And as Bobby and I talked today, as a wonderful guest, and he's just a great guy all the way around. And of course, you aren't a slouch, Mary Kay. So, you know, and Gary, you're no slouch either. So, I mean, it's hard to do a radio show weekly. I know we do it. Bobby and I have done it for 6 years. You've done yours for 8. I know it can be a drain on you, and believe me, we've been there, but we march on. And I'm glad we have to
do that. Yeah, we
do.
Have to march on.
We have to. And you know, I listened to a couple of back shows of yours, and of course I listen every Thursday when I get an opportunity, to you and you and BJB, you know, doing your Western music thing, and particularly the equestrian part, because I am a horseman, or was a horseman. I love to talk about horses. I mean, that's like, other than talking about being a writer, horses are my next best subject.
There you go.
But never a walking horse.
We started Equestrian Legacy Radio just talking about horses. And then after about 6 months, we decided to add some music. And so, you know, that's been 9 years, starting nine years.
Ago. Right.
Yeah.
So I commend you. That's a long time to be on the air. I mean, we thought we were on the air for, I think we're the longest running show in LA Talk Radio, to be honest.
Wow.
But you've been on there a while. Yeah. I mean, that's some kind of a record, well, for us. I mean, we get fired from every other show we're on, so we can't fire us from this one. Mary Kay.
Well, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. I love doing this show. Like I said, I'll quit when my cold, dead hands comes off the microphone. Mary Kay, you're a singer-songwriter. Where do the ideas for some of your music come up? Because you have some beautiful lyrics, and although I know they're not all yours, but the ones that I really liked were. And your lyric is so good, and your intonation and your voice is so good; it such fits the song. Where do they come from? I mean, do they come from your heart, from your soul? Where?
Well, lyrics they actually come over a course of sometimes a couple of years, and maybe even longer for some of them. So usually I'll get a song title, and then I'll write that down, and then I'll start deciding how I want to craft the lyrics around that title. Or occasionally certain lines will come to me, and they all get written down. And if I don't, if I have lines that come to me and I don't really have a place for them, when I'm composing lyrics, I can look back through a back catalog of lyrics not used, and sometimes they work, and sometimes they work brilliantly. That's kind of how I approach. I approach lyrics like I'm very particular about them, and I take a lot of time crafting the perfect, what I feel is the most singable lyric. So between two sets of lyrics, I will pick the more singable set.
That's interesting. You should say that. Yeah, that's interesting. You should say that. We now the other singers, well, singer songwriters we've had on the show, I think there's only been one or two. You never hear them say they have to be singable, especially to the artist that's writing them. And I absolutely agree with that 100%. If they don't make sense and the story isn't coming together for you, it's not going to be a good piece of music.
That's true.
So that's true. Yeah. Now, the question that we ask, always get asked, and I used to be asked the same thing. Does the music come first or do the lyrics come first? Or do you do it together?
Occasionally when I get the idea for a song title, I'll get a musical hook with it. Uh-huh. And so I'll record that on my phone. And I have probably the whole Frontier album was written from lines and hooks that I had recorded snippets of on my phone.
Uh-huh.
And then I could craft it from there. So, but starting a song, much like starting a book or anything else that you're writing, is very easy to start and very, very difficult to finish.
Absolutely.
And so very seldom does the music come first. So usually it comes as just a little part of it will come together. And then the frustrating thing, which I don't know if every creative writer would agree with me, but I'm of the belief that every song, every good song is its own thing. I mean, there's a certain amount of craft that's involved, but there's also a certain amount of letting go and letting that be what it's going to be. And this, as an artist, not always very easy to do, but I've noticed with songs that are well written, that I've allowed that letting go process to happen, that a few years down the line, there are things about that song that reveal themselves to me in my life or in my understanding or from what other people have told me that just have kind of grown and developed over time, which I could not have crafted. That's the part that you have to kind of let go to and let the song be what it's going to be. Okay, that's enough of my mystic belief about song.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Mary Kay, you mentioned Frontier a moment ago, and the first song that we played at the beginning of the show is from that album. Jim chose to start with The Ride. You want to give us a little bit of backstory? I know this was several years in the making, and it came out during the year of COVID. You want to just tell us a little bit of what went into Frontier? I know he has three other songs from the album that he's going to be playing a bit of this evening.
Well, the song, The Ride, I think it was the original idea, the lyric idea was sparked from somebody who came to a show and said that his wife couldn't be there. She was struggling with cancer. And I expressed my condolences and my, you know, because that's just so hard. Maybe condolences is not the right word, but my sympathies with him. And he said, well, it's okay. I'm here for her and I'm here for the ride. And as soon as he said that, he looked at me and I looked at him and we both knew that would be a great song. So that's kind of how that idea started. And then the melody was written on a backpacking trip that I was on. And then I was stuck because when you listen to that song, it's an incredibly powerful song about love and commitment. And at the time I was struggling through a marriage that was becoming increasingly and incredibly difficult. So I wanted so much to write that song for that relationship. but the song was really never finished until that relationship was over. And then as Gary and I, as we fell in love, and that was just such a beautiful, beautiful experience, just to recognize that love for each other and just feel that, I don't know, it was just, I mean, he and I still to this day will hold hands at the end of the day and say, you know, I love you more today than I did yesterday. But as that love was growing, that song was finished. And so Gary and I were courting each other during the production of this album, and it really became our song. And I'll tell you, when I sing The Ride live, there are very few dry eyes in the audience.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's because it really strums the chord of true love. And for those who have felt that kind of powerful, deep, abiding love, that's what this song speaks about. And so that's the story of that song.
Well, it certainly hits the mark. And I have to tell you that Bobby clued me in on the fact that it had become Aaron Gary's song. And so that's why I chose to start the show with it. So you're welcome, Gary. I did that for you.
Well, she has a ball when she performs it. I'm in the audience. She just kind of laughs afterwards because she sees me crying.
Oh.
I can't help myself. Oh.
A manly man crying in the audience. I like it. Guys, don't go away. We're going to be back in just a moment. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. This is, of course, it's the Writer's Block. And we will be back right after this real brief word from LA Talk Radio. Jim Christina here for LA Talk Radio. And if you've ever thought that you could be a radio host, well, now is certainly your opportunity. Go to www.latalkradio.com. Find the link that says be a host and follow the instructions. You know, everybody's got something to say. And if you've got a show that you think needs to be heard, how about you link up with us? Because we've got 50-minute shows available every day of the week, plus Sundays. So how about giving us a try? That's latalkradio.com. And listen every Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific for the Writer's Block, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Little boy tugged at his mama's hand to get that pony ride. A little scared when he climbed on, but when it was over, he cried. All the way home in the car, he chanted that pony's name. Now every Christmas and birthday, his wish list is the same. He dreams of horses.
And we are back live with Mary Kay and Gary Holt. And we were talking about songwriting and Gary's stint as a radio host on Equestrian Legacy Radio, of course, with Bobby Jean on every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Mountain, 12 p.m. Central. And we can keep going, and we can go into England if y'all want. That was We Dream of Horses, of course, another one of Mary Kay's songs from her album Frontier. I need to ask this, Mary Kay, because I would almost be willing to bet this is true. When you're not real happy with a piece of lyric, do you try changing your vocal intonation first before you try rewriting the lyric? I got
if I'm
you,
not
didn't
happy,
I?
Yeah. If I'm not happy with the lyric, I will put it on a separate piece of paper and I start over. I very seldom change an intonation or a melody to fit a lyric.
Okay.
I almost always will craft a lyric to fit the melody or that I've chosen.
Okay. Yeah. I used to do the same thing as you do. I used to put down titles. In fact, I had a little book that I used to write titles down in, and then I would go back later and look at the title and decide what the song was going to be about. And I've come up with, let's see, Moses from the Mountain was one of them, and another one was
cool.
The Schillerman's Daughter.
Wow, those are cool names.
Moses from the Mountain is a great tune. It pretty much showcases what's going on in the world today.
Oh, wow. I like that title, Jim.
I'd be happy to send it to you.
Yeah, me too.
I don't have the music for it, but I do. It's very simple. It's three chords. Schillerman's Daughter is kind of it's kind of like a real intricate finger picking style, which you have. So, I'd be happy to send you those. Oh, well, we have fingers up on the other side of the country. Yes, Bobby.
I have another question since we're talking about lyric and such. I know Mary Kay, a number of years ago, I got to listen to a panel of songwriters sponsored by the International Western Music Association, and you were one of them, and it was so very interesting. And one of the things that you shared was when you're working on an album, you actually create, you use like an artist's pad.
Uh-huh.
And you, that kind of becomes your work for that album. Do you want to, because this show, we talk a lot about process. I thought that was so interesting. Do you want to share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's, the process for a new album, like you said, is I will buy an artist sketchbook with nice, heavy, unlined paper. And I always write with those little, I mean, if you want to talk about process, I can tell you. I buy the mechanical pencils and I put them in a bouquet right next to my bed where I do most of my writing. And so in the very front panel of the artist sketchbook, I dedicate that sketchbook to the new album, and I state my intention for it. And then quite often I'll go through my old books and see if there's anything that's been left in the old books that need to make it to the new album. And then I just kind of start throwing mud on the wall with ideas. And near the end of the book, after all the songs are written in the book, then near the end of the book, a full third of the book is the sound engineering process. Me going into the studio and writing down mix notes, because I self-produce all of my albums. And Gary can tell you, because we were recording during the production of Frontier, it took probably twice as long to engineer and get the mix and everything right, the mastering, everything perfect for that album. It took longer to do that than actually sing and have the instrumentalist. Right, Gary?
It did. I listened to a lot of music during that period of time. And she is a bit of a perfectionist, so that's a good thing.
Well, she's a musician. That comes in the genes.
I think so.
True.
That comes out. I mean, I had a band for years, and we used to tour up and down the West Coast. And we were a vocal acoustic group. And we used to go in the studio. In fact, we went in our main thing. We went to the studio one time in order to be able to be on stage. And a lot of artists tend to go on stage so they can be in the studio. Which is it for you?
Stage? Huh. I really like performing on stage more than I enjoy being in the studio, because that's the fun part. The studio, I love it. And like Gary said, I'm a perfectionist. So I just stay in the muck and mud and all the money that it takes until it's done right. And then in true artist fashion, I hardly ever even listen to the album again.
Yeah. Well, the studio was okay, but to me it was work, being on the stage is like fun time. It's playtime.
Exactly. You got those
people out there, they're grinning and they're drinking their beer and they're having mm-hmm. fun. And back in the studio, you got that engineer sitting back there and that producer going, cut, do it again. So, yeah, I get that. I totally get that. Bobby, you had something you want to say?
Oh, well, I wanted to, I know that there's an interesting backstory to the song that you played a little bit of, We Dream of Horses, Jim. And Mary Kay has been involved with horses, I think, all of her life. And it has a fun story. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about what inspired We Dream of Horses?
Sure. Yeah. Actually, I've not had horses in my life until just actually when my music career started. My kids, that's not true. With 10 children, my whole life was, you know, being the the mom of this big family, but horses were kind of around. I never really had time to be out with them. But as the children grew up, then horses became more and more a part of my life until they were a daily part of my life. And that was lovely to have that, be able to have that chance in my life. I very much appreciate that. But the song, We Dream of Horses, the lyrics were written by Ellen Walker. And her husband is a well-known custom bootmaker who is from the county that I used to live in. And I had taken him all the things that needed repaired, then were involved with leather, and we knew each other. But he knew I was working on a new album, and he wanted to be a part of a crowdfunding campaign that I had going on. And one of the rewards for the crowdfunding campaign was that I would write a song. And his wife had written these lyrics, and so I put it to music. And it's a beautiful, beautiful lyrics about...
It really is.
Yeah, I love the way that she wove different characters, and then she pulled together everybody in the chorus of We Dream of Horses.
Right.
Anyway, it's beautifully written. And it wasn't maybe even a year after that song was recorded that she was killed in not a horse wreck, but a horse. She was attacked and killed by a horse.
Mm. Oh.
And so, yes. So she was a lifetime horsewoman. And that was a horrible and sad way to go. Her husband and I have talked about it before, about how special it was that that song was written and recorded as a legacy. And you just never know. And that goes right back to the point of, you know, songs are really a bit of magic. They really, really are. And
yeah, they are.
You just don't know where they're going to go or what they're going to mean in a few years from then.
Let me just ask this real quickly.
Go ahead.
Do you feel, Mary Kay, when a lyric comes to you or you begin to work with it, that you somehow are also responsible for giving it life and birthing it to the world?
Yeah, it's kind of an eerie responsibility. And a lot of times a song will demand that it be written right then. And a song idea that is written right in the moment that it's kind of conceived, I think it turns out to be a different song than if you sit on that idea or lyric for a year. And a writer can craft anything from anything. I mean, if you give me a topic, I can have a song by the end of the day for you. But some songs really do demand to be written right then, or they leave you. You don't have the same kind of writing experience. And I hate that. I really do, because, well, Gary can tell you, I will go all day long, and I have my own agenda of things that I like to do. And for him to even stop me and give me a hug is just, it feels like it takes too long. And so for a song idea to come to me, sometimes that's much harder, because then I just put down the vacuum. I guess I'm going to be writing a song today.
So you focus on what you're doing.
Yeah.
And tell your husband to go watch another TV show because you're busy.
Oh. She does that.
I love it.
A whole lot in that bedroom, and I don't see her for a couple of hours. So that's
kind of the way. But you know what? That's what people who create do. I kept in my office.
Yeah.
I'm working on two books right now, and I've disappeared for most of the day in here. And,
wow.
And my wife, Jerry, who actually booked you on the show, she just leaves me alone. She's, you know, if it's time to eat, she'll come and tell me. But other than that, she just lets me go.
That sounds like the most lovely life.
I think everyone that is a creative spirit has to find people to support them, surround them with that kind of love and respect for what they do.
It doesn't work otherwise.
Yeah,
it does not work otherwise. And mm-hmm. I've been there. I have had that non-support. When I had my band, did not have that support, and it was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Mary Kay, you ran into a little bit of that back when. And it's tough when you're a performer and you love to be on stage and somebody's giving you a hard time because you're gone.
Well, yes, that is very hard. And I think that holds back a lot of artists.
Right.
But
I think it does too.
It's also very hard when you're in a situation where what you do creatively becomes about money and how much you can create for money, and that puts a different kind of strain on the creator, and that's very unpleasant as well. So it's, you know, I think that you're right. I think just a supportive relationship, being in a supportive relationship, is so important to creative.
Well, it makes a world of difference, and we'll hold that thought right there. This is LA Talk Radio. You're listening to The Writer's Block. We'll be back right after this short message from Out West.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
In the lobby of a big hotel in New York town, one day sat a bunch of fellas telling yarns to pass the time away. They told of places they had been and different things they've seen. Some preferred Chicago and others knew.
We are back in the studio with Mary Kay and Gary Holt. Mary Kay, of course, is a award-winning singer-songwriter in the Western genre. I'm going to say, and I'm not being an aficionado, that your voice and your music transcends Western, goes into standard almost in some of your music. And I mean, your music can probably tickle the innards of a lot of different people. So I appreciate that. And your thoughts, because I know where your genre is, but I also know that you kind of push that boundary out a little bit.
Yeah. Well, thank you, first of all. That was a nice compliment. I think that in my relationship with Gary, we both love a very wide variety of music, and it's fun to have him introduce me to new music, but Gary's also introduced me to a new world in the music world with Nashville writers. And I feel a little scared moving forward. Western music, I'll never turn my back on it at all. It's where I got my start, but it's a very small community of writers and fans. so as I move forward, I really don't want to feel locked into a certain kind of sound or a certain genre. I really would like to actually even go back to school and study composition and study some other things. I have a real heart of a musician, and I want to just see how far I can take that. And that's my plan, just to keep writing and keep understanding more, not only about composition, but about the engineering of songs and so forth. Uh-huh. It's uh-huh. fascinating to me, and I love it.
Uh-huh. Who taught you how to finger pick?
I had in my little town just one guy who taught guitar, and that's how he played. And so he, you know how that first way that you learn how to play is how you play. And so I do have a very odd style of playing. And for my albums, I found a couple of studio guitarists that will actually take the time to learn how to play it the way I play it.
Uh-huh.
And then that way I have a studio guitarist playing, but that guitarist is playing the way I play it, so that in a live performance, your ear will still hear the same motif.
Right,
drum pattern.
Right. I'm still gushing, I guess. Your music is so nice.
Thank you.
hey, Gary, what got you into Equestrian Legacy Radio? I mean, that was a pretty big jump for you, isn't it?
Well, it kind of was. I was in radio when I was in high school, and worked with a couple of different stations through those years. But then I had another career altogether, and that was a career in the insurance business for about
uh-huh.
40 years.
Uh-huh.
But I was fascinated with online radio. It was relatively new, 9 years ago, 10 years ago. And I was involved with a horse breed organization, and so that just kind of led me into experimenting with this online radio thing. And I kind of had a built-in audience from the breed organization. That was the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association. So we started out with our first shows of about 1,500 to 2,000 people that were listening. And just kind of went from there.
Yeah.
But horses have always been two passions, Jim,
what?
For me have right. always been horses and music, because my dad had horses forever, and I was always involved in music. And
yeah,
so
me,
that
me
just
too.
Kind of, yeah, just kind of a combination of the two. So
I love music and I love horses. And I mean, the twain shall meet. So.
Well, absolutely, and the horse world and the music world are both very small.
They are,
and so we have listeners from all around the world for both the music shows and the horse shows.
Right,
so it's pretty cool.
Right, yeah. We kind of started out the same way. Bobby and I 6 years ago decided we sat down at a restaurant and mapped the show out. We decided there was no format because we wanted it to be fresh every week.
Yeah.
And so, but we also decided that whatever author is on our show, we were going to read the book, which is unusual because most hosts don't.
Right.
They get a cheat sheet from whoever is their producer, and that's what they read from. And Bobby and I have decided that we're going to read the book, and every host that's been on since Bobby, and along with Bobby and I, and has always had to read the book. And it's been, I think that's why people want to be on this show, because we do take the time to read their work.
Right.
You know,
right. Right.
You know, it's like Mary Kay.
More interesting for all of you.
Yeah. Well, it does. We can't talk about her music unless I've listened to her music.
That's right.
Yeah. We can't talk about books unless we've read the book, and you can't talk about horses unless you're around horses.
That's right.
So, Okay, you can go back to being quiet now, Gary. We're going to talk to your wife a little bit more. No, we appreciate we appreciate you being here. Right. And as a matter of fact, in another 2 minutes, we're going to ask you to yodel. So get your
all right, I'll do it.
When you decided that you wanted to be a musician, Mary Kay, and that had to have been problem, I'm going to guess, way back when. Not that you're old, but in the scheme of your life, it had to have been back someplace. I mean, maybe you started singing just to get away from the kids. I mean, you know, 10 of them, you're going to do something. I started when I was like 11 playing guitar. I don't know where you were. What age were you when you picked up your first guitar and learned how to play?
Well, I started playing piano when I was quite young, and so maybe 8. But I was composing, so I started composing on the piano, but not writing. I would just memorize melodies and play them. But then I started singing in choirs in fourth grade, and then started playing violin in middle school age. And then the high school that I went to in Clinton, Mississippi was a nationally recognized show choir. It's really a top show choir in the country, even to this day. And so that was my high school experience, being in this, you know, jazz hands show choir. And so I very much learned about stage presence and learned how to kind of move and sing at the same time.
Right.
I learned about showmanship. I learned about work ethic and proper vocal placement. And then I studied music theater for just a little while before I was married and started having children. And then, of course, children took up most of my young adult life, but I did have... I did have voice lessons, and then I did a couple of musicals. One musical. I played the part of Maria in West Side Story. Mm. And then didn't start playing guitar until I was either 39 or 40 years. I probably 39 years old. I bought a guitar for my birthday, and I had to buy it in payments because I was on a very tight budget. And so, really, I think I started playing guitar and singing and writing music as soon as I had that guitar. I had a friend of mine who, she and I would sing together, and that we saved the money that we made singing at restaurants and RV parks, and that's how I produced the first original songs. But I, you know, looking back at the time, I'm 53 now, and looking back at that, the decade of my 40s, it was a lot of time on the road. And it was, I feel like a lot of pressure was on me to help provide money for my family.
Well, sure.
And it was really a lot of fun, but it's also, you know, very hard to be away from my children as much as I was. And so I think that for me, that the music has always been in the equation for me, something that I've enjoyed and I've done. But professionally, I was doing concerts when I could hardly play my guitar. And I don't know if that's a great thing to do, because, you know, then people say, well, she sounds great, but she can't play. And so I had to spend many years trying to overcome that, because I can play now and sing at the same time. But it was definitely a learning curve that just felt so pushed and so very pressured.
Sure.
And so it's nice to be able to have a catalog of work that I can sing and create now from a different space, you know?
Yeah. I sat down and learned how to play the piano by myself. I must have been in my mid-30s. And one difference I found between the piano and the guitar was the piano didn't hurt my fingers.
But you know what, Jim? I think that the guitar is so wonderful because you can actually tell who's playing the guitar.
Yes, it's impressive. And you know immediately who's playing that riff if you just listen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with you 100%, which is why I stole a couple riffs from Jim Croce. Not saying that I did it on purpose. Look, you know what? We got to do one more real short break. Hey, don't go away, please. And this is LA Talk Radio. We will be right back after this real brief word from Tuscany Bay Books.
Congratulations, you finally finished that book. Now what are you going to do with it? Well, as a new writer, you probably do what all new writers do, stick it in the drawer with the other 6 or 7. Well, why not this time do something a little different? Why not get a hold of Black Dog Publishing and our fine imprint of Tuscany Bay Books? See, we can get that book out of the drawer. We can proofread it. We can edit it. We can format it. We can publish it. We can print it. We can copyright it. And we can get it on the shelf so your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, hell, even a person you don't know or two or three might want to buy a copy. It's all what it's about. And all of this for less than the cost of your firstborn. So why not give us a shot? BlackDogPublishing.co, TuscanyBayBooks.com, your answer to getting your book published. And right now, we're probably the best at what we do in this industry. Black Dog Publishing, Tuscany Bay Books.
Cielito lindo de contrabando.
And that is Mary Kay and Cielito Lindo, one of the songs from her new album, Frontier. And, of course, Cielito Lindo, if you're a non-Mexican-speaking person, is cute baby. And I'm sure that all of yours were. It's hard for me to fathom the kind of quality you put out, and it's going into the studio and recording, especially when you're footing the bill for it. It always feel rushed, and I don't know if you ever feel rushed while you're in the studio. So can you kind of type on or hit on that for just a moment?
Yeah, that is actually a valid thing to think about. And it's probably the same with publishing, isn't it, as well, where you have a certain deadline that you have in your mind as an artist that you want to have this thing done by.
Right.
But you can sometimes sacrifice the quality of your work by putting the deadline before the quality of the work. And so with studio work, I really, really, I've learned to not give anybody a deadline of when it's going to be done. It's just done when it's done. And so whatever it takes, and whatever amount of money that it takes to get it done. And I think another key to that last stretch of producing the album is making sure that you have people that you are true professionals.
Right.
So that you can really rely on them. And I think that for me, every album has been produced at the same studio. And so I have everything archived with my sound engineer and a great relationship with him. And I feel like because I've worked with him and he's so good at what he does and so conscientious of my library of work that I have a true catalog. It's not just just some inexpensive studio. It's not a super expensive one either, but I pay for quality, and I hope you can hear that in the albums.
But it
just takes as long as it's going to take. And for me, I live 6 hours from my studio. So that when Gary and I were courting each other, it was lots and lots of me driving and talking to him on the phone while he's in Nashville, him worrying about me, getting home safely because it's just I'm driving so late. It was a lot of driving. It took a lot of time and it took a lot of money. And then you've got these beautiful songs.
Yes, you did. And I'm enamored of this album. It's a wonderful album, Frontier. It's available everywhere now that you can buy Western music. Actually, where you can't even buy Western music, you can find Frontier. So, we're almost out of time, and I really hate to cut this short, but it's been such an honor talking to you. And Gary,
you.
Of course.
Thank you for making me slow down enough to do this. But Gary and I have been so busy, it feels really good to sit down and talk to you.
We understand you have a house showing tomorrow, so I'm sure you guys are busy. but we do appreciate you taking the time out to talk with us tonight. And Gary, you too. I mean, it's always a pleasure.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Bobby Jean.
And, of course, I'm going to be calling your show one of these days, so you may want to answer the phone.
I've got your number now, Jim.
And anyway, thank you so much for joining us. And again, I know you're busy, and I'm sure you're going to be going back to work as soon as you hang up. So thanks again for the time you spent with us. And Bobby Jean, I'm sure you have something to say.
Find out everything about Mary Kay at, let's see, Mary Kay, Mary-Kaye, .net, Mary Kay, or .com?
.com.
.com.
Yeah.
And also follow her on Facebook, Mary Kay on Facebook. Today she posted this really fun video. Now I know, Mary Kay, all your tips and tricks about how to get ready to face the day.
I'm hoping to do more of those.
Yeah, really fun. Her Facebook page is always just full of all kinds of different things. So you really want to follow her, and I'm sure she's on Instagram too. But is there any other place, Mary Kay, you want to tell people where they can find you?
No, that's Facebook and Instagram. Yeah,
okay.
Let's be friends.
Excellent. And you know what? Anytime you guys want to have craps and giggles, you guys got the number. Feel free to call in and say hi. It's us. We understand you're moving back to Nashville, and have a good move. Take care, and stay out of trouble. It's tough, I know, but hey, you can do it. You can do it. Thank you again for joining us, Mary, and thank you, Gary.
Thank you. Thank you.
You guys have a great evening.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Next week, we have with us L. Annette Binder and her book, The Vanishing Sky. I think Richard's in with us. Russ is in with us next
week. Russ is in next week.
And the following week, we have, of course, Bobby Jean and Richard Polinelli. And it's going to be a fun time. And if you're a new writer and you're looking for a publishing company, we're looking for submissions. So go to TuscanyBayBooks.com. Go to the submissions page and please submit your manuscripts. We're looking at all of them right now. We just picked up about 15 science fiction books that we're going to be working on. But we got plenty of room for other writers. So if you have our writer and you want to get your book published, please give us a shot. Bobby Jean, what a wonderful show.
Well, we've been blessed, Jim and I, to have known Mary Kay over the last, 10, 12 years or more. And it's just been wonderful to hear her, find herself. She was wonderful from the get-go, but it's really been a blessing in our lives to.
She has been through a lot, just see
where she went with what she started with. So
right. She's been through a really lot, and she found a spot to be with Gary. And we wish them all the best. They got married in October last year.
Yep.
We do wish them all the best. And I guess for myself, for the bookie, for Bobby Jean Bell and Jim Bell and Ronan Rosner, and of course, Sam Hassan, the owner of the studio, and Mr. Russ Avison, who occasionally shows up when he's of a mind. we thank you for listening, and we are out of here.